Welcome back. Well, British MPs voted to reject the principle of a no-deal Brexit, but the outcome of that vote now demonstrates that a no-deal Brexit is more likely than ever. Prime Minister Theresa May used to say that no deal is better than a bad deal, but what does the latest vote mean for the entire process, especially with that Brexit date just weeks away? Roger Bootle, economist and chair of Capital Economics, joins us on the line now with his perspective. Roger, thanks so much for your time this evening. So, as I say, we've got Theresa May promising to go back to Brussels to renegotiate Brexit after Parliament ripped up the deal she spent, what, the last year and a half stitching together. Were you surprised at the outcome last night?
No, I wasn't really surprised. I suppose I was slightly surprised and, from my point of view, relieved that the amendment to try to postpone Brexit was defeated. But, you know, Mrs. May is stuck, frankly, between a rock and a hard place. It's a ghastly position to be in. She's got to go back to the EU. She has to get something from them, a concession for them on, I know this sounds pretty esoteric, but the all-important backstop concerning Northern Ireland. If she doesn't get that, I think she's not going to be able to carry the programme through the House of Commons, and she'll split her party, frankly. But at the same time, the EU is saying they're not going to reopen the negotiations. So,
absolutely. As you say, the EU opposed to changes at this stage of the game. So realistically speaking, Roger, I mean, how much firepower does Theresa May really have in her arsenal to negotiate anything?
Well, she has, of course, not been a good negotiator. And we've heard today that, in fact, as part of the agreement with the Brexiteers and her party, she's going to be stiffening her negotiating team with some pretty experienced people. So it won't just be her doing it. She's got actually more of a strong position than you might think, because, of course, on the continent, people don't want a no-deal situation. They want there to be a deal between the UK and the EU and for relations to continue to be cordial and friendly and so on and so forth. The problem really, I think, is the divergence between the EU itself, that's to say the Commission and the President on the one hand, and a number of individual member countries on the other. And on the whole, the latter, the governments of those individual countries, are more concerned to get a deal than the Commission itself is. This is horse trading, and it may well go right down to the wire, to the very last moment.
Absolutely. Well, you talk about a new negotiation or negotiating team coming to the fore and extending their muscle, Roger. This as Theresa May chose to tear up that exit deal to unite her Conservative Party in the first place. Do you think it's worked? So where you talk about, you know, divisiveness on the EU side of things, just how united a front is Britain putting at the forefront?
Well, look, there are enormous divisions in the Conservative Party on this question, as indeed there are in the Labour Party and, of course, in the country at large. I mean, Britain voted to leave the EU in its referendum more than 2 years ago now. The vote was 52 to 48. Mm. Now, that's not equal, but it's a pretty near equal split. So there's division all the way through. But you know, what's happened recently is that the arch-Brexiteers who want something a lot tougher, a much harder Brexit than the one Mrs. May was offering, I've had a bit of a reality check over recent weeks. Not all of them. Some are willing to die in the ditch, as it were, but quite a few of them are prepared to compromise. And it does now come down to this wretched Northern Irish backstop. That's to say, the arrangement under which, if we haven't successfully negotiated a free trade agreement with the EU, then the EU sort of almost colonizes Northern Ireland, actually, and there becomes a customs division down the Irish Sea between Northern Ireland and the rest of the United Kingdom. Now, that really is the sticking point. Mm. A lot of Conservative MPs simply cannot accept that, and they want a change to the treaty that will exclude that. If they get that, my guess is, remarkably, that Mrs. May will get her deal through. This would be the most incredible Houdini act in the whole of political history anywhere, frankly, having lost her vote, you know, not long ago by a record margin. If she comes back and she actually carries it, albeit with this important change, it will be, I think, a remarkable achievement.
Yeah. Roger, you mentioned that this is one of the major sticking points right now. What are some of the, you know, other compromises that she could come to the fore with if she doesn't get that one right?
Well, the groups who are trying to push this are also suggesting a plan B under which the UK would continue to pay some money to the EU, which previously they've resisted. There would be an extension of the transition period, that's to say the status quo essentially, and we would opt for an interim arrangement under which both sides didn't impose tariffs or restrictions on each other's trade while we were negotiating a free trade agreement. That, on the face of it, looks pretty attractive, but I don't think the EU would accept it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not at all clear that they're going to accept what Mrs. May needs to deliver on the Northern Ireland backstop. So here you've got, on the one hand, that's what I mean by saying she's stuck between a rock and a hard place. Domestically here, she's got to get the backstop altered in some sense, legally, in order to be able to win the support of Parliament. As far as the EU is concerned, what they're absolutely not prepared to grant is a renegotiation that alters the backstop.
Absolutely. Well, Roger, with every passing day that doesn't see a resolution, it's forcing more and more companies to bring on what has been labeled unnecessary and costly contingency plans. Could you give us, a better sense of the kind of flutter or nervousness this has triggered on the ground on your end?
Well, I don't think it has triggered a lot of nervousness, let alone panic. I mean, the fact of the matter is that, don't forget, I'm supporting the Brexit position. But those are the people on the other side of this question. They have self-interest in playing up the extent to which no deal is supposedly a disaster and it's going to cause disruption and riots in the streets and shortages of medicine and heaven knows what else, plague of frogs and, everything, biblical proportions. And I think all that's nonsense, frankly. Businesses have got a very difficult position simply because of the uncertainty. I'm pretty sure myself that if it does come to a no-deal Brexit, although there will be some short-term disruption, everything will be fundamentally fine. We just have to get on with it. The debilitating thing for businesses now is they just don't know. Will it be a no-deal Brexit? Will it be Mrs. May's deal? Will Brexit be postponed? Will it be abandoned? They just don't know. And until you know, it's the same throughout life. Uncertainty is very debilitating in and of itself because you don't feel you can make a decision that makes any sense.
Absolutely. Well, let's leave it there, Roger. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. Roger Bootle is an economist and chair of Capital Economics.